Mahdi returned her attention to Big Circle and saw that the Mandalorians already had the field surrounded. Finally, beginning to sense that something was wrong, the Octusi had stopped their preparations and were looking toward the main entry arch, located just 100 meters or so from where the wounded veterans of the last demonstration were lining up. She stepped to one side of the window and leaned against the wall, straining to see what had caught the Octusi's attention. Floating down the narrow lane, directly in front of the repair shop, she saw a quick-strike urban assault car. Protruding from the commander's hatch were the head and shoulders of a helmetless Mandalorian male with blonde, short-cropped hair and cold blue eyes. He had a long scar down one cheek and a flat, crooked nose that had obviously been broken several times. Both signs, to Mahdi's way of thinking, that he probably wasn't one of Mandalore's better hand-to-hand fighters. He held his chin a little too high, peering down on the Octusi as though he were a butcher selecting stock for his slaughterhouse.
"That commander looks familiar," Mahdi said.
As she spoke, an image came to her. A holonet report she had seen of the siege of the Jedi Temple. She pulled her datapad from her pocket and activated the search function.
"Isn't he the one who blasted that apprentice on the steps of the Jedi Temple?"
"Sure looks like him,"
Till replied.
"Rawl, I think. Something Rawl."
Mahdi entered the name and moments later was rewarded with a news capsule of the incident. The apprentice, Kani Asari, had been Kenth Hamner's personal assistant, and the killer had been a Mandalorian commander placed in charge of the siege by Chief Dala herself. Mahdi compared the killer's image with the commander outside, and her heart began to pound in excitement.
"Till, this is it," she said. "Belloc Rawl was the Mandalorian commander at the siege of the Jedi Temple."
"So?"
Till asked.
"So, Dala gave him complete authority at the temple siege, and he killed an unarmed apprentice in full view of the media,"
Mahdi said.
"And now, here he is, putting down a slave revolt on Blaudu Sextus."
"That's a coincidence, not proof,"
Till said.
"It doesn't establish a connection to Dala."
"No," Mahdi said. "But it is a fact, and we do report facts, don't we?"
Till thought for a moment, then reluctantly nodded.
"Just be careful with your phrasing, okay?"
"No worries. I won't imply anything," Mahdi said.
Outside her window, the quick strike had come to stop directly in front of the wounded Octusi, and Rawl gazed out over the Octusi, probably looking for a leader.
"Shota, how are we coming with the link?"
"We're connected to the relay satellite," he reported. "But I'm trying to buy more bandwidth. Their equipment is old out here, so we're only getting grade 3 signal."
Mahdi glanced over at Till. At grade 3 and standard bandwidth, her voice would be distorted and the vid image is grainy and jerky. But both would be recognizable, and the primitive quality of the broadcast might give the report an added note of urgency.
"Let's do it," she said.
Till nodded.
"Keep the offer open,"
he said to Shota.
"And bring the parabolic mic to Mahdi. We'll want an enhanced voice signal on Rawl."